Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
All right, every day on the show, the 2 o'clock hour, a.k.a. the happy hour, many of you have tweeted and reached out to tell me that this is the happy hour. I think it's in part because my wife joined at 2:30, and I told her yesterday, not let this go to her head, I said, when you join, Anna, it changes the energy on the show. 2:30, boom. All of a sudden, I look forward to this. It's happy. This is not like, this is us racing to the finish line, and you know what? We hit the finish line, and we go, you know what? We got a little more left here.
So if this is the happy hour, do I get to pour an adult beverage? Does that go with happy hour?
What would be your beverage? What are you? What do you like to drink? Are you a wine drinker? Are you a whiskey drinker? Is it sake? What is it?
Come on. All of the above. You know the answer to that. I've changed over the years. I started out as a pretty typical, can I have a apple martini, what were those called, apple sours or something like that, and then migrated to the dirty martini, felt a little more grown up ordering that, and now I just drink like straight whiskey
right now because you're homeschooling. Is this happening during homeschooling or no?
No, but you totally called me on the other day. You went into our supply and you were like, wait, where did all the whiskey go? I haven't had any.
I feel like we have a teenager in the house. Oh, we do. We have a teenager in the house. We also have a mom that is homeschooling the kids in the house. So there's that too.
I meant to go to the liquor store and actually replenish all of the empty whiskey bottles so that you might not notice, instead of just leaving them on the shelf empty.
The essential whiskey, the essential trip to the liquor store, in which you either wear a mask or you gargle with Jack Daniels
on the way out
and make sure you didn't catch anything. Hey, when you come on this show, though, we never know where it's quite going to go.
That's true.
A little bit later today, our kindergartner is going to be, quote unquote, graduating kindergarten.
I'm so excited for her.
Are you?
Well, yeah, it's a milestone, although it's not like a normal milestone. Normally, we would be, you know, having some kind of kindergarten graduation and she'd be able to hug her friends. But that's not the case today.
What are they going to do? What is this graduation going to look like?
I guess it's going to be like a drive-through kind of thing where there's a parade and then there's an opportunity for her to stand with the teacher at the front of the school and the principal. And she's not supposed to know this yet, but I accidentally spilled the beans because that's what I do. She gets like a popsicle and a cap and some kind of certificate. So they're making the best of it.
How come they don't graduate kids at every grade? Like, why just kindergarten?
I don't kindergarten and what they do it again.
High school, eighth grade.
No, eighth grade. They do an eighth grade graduation, right?
I think that it's part of our participation trophy mentality. Why is that such a big deal? Getting out of kindergarten, we make getting out of kindergarten a big deal. Then we make eighth grade, and then we make high school, and then we make college.
Well, didn't middle school suck for you? It more or less sucks for everybody else. So, I would celebrate that.
But what's wrong with, like, a third grader getting to fourth grade? That's an accomplishment, too.
Yeah. Like, they get, like, a clap out or something.
But
right?
I kind of think, like...
Every year?
I don't know. No. Oh. I'm the opposite. I'm saying we shouldn't celebrate the kindergarten to first grade graduation. That should be, hey, you made it 1 year. Like, it's like in a wedding. You don't get like a bonus anniversary after 1 year, but we do that with school. You know what I mean? It's like the paper anniversary at 1 year.
It's funny. I used to think that until right about now. I I used to think the kindergarten graduations were silly, and then I realized maybe it's this year, maybe it's the pandemic, but I'm like, you know, thirsting for something to commemorate for her, although she's fully aware that this is abnormal and it shouldn't be this way.
I find it interesting that the kids are starting to say that they hate coronavirus. They want it to be over. They want it to go away. Like, they've gone from, hey, it's real nice to be home with mom and dad, to, hey, what about next year? And they're young. I can't imagine, like, older kids, like, you know, even the 17-year-old in our household who is saying, you know, she's really looking forward to her senior year of high school, but I can tell she's afraid to get her hopes up that it's going to be a quote-unquote normal year, because she may be faced, it looks like, at least to start, with some distance learning.
Yeah, it has been interesting, because normally when they say the word hate in our household, like, we don't use that word.
Oh, that's not a good word to use.
It's too strong of a word to use. And you can, you know, not like something, you can dislike something. We try to discourage the word hate. But when they say they hate coronavirus, I'm like, amen, sister. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Right there. Let it go. It's interesting because I think, you know, we've got also have a birthday coming up for the kindergartner.
Uh-huh.
She's five.
Yeah.
She said something weird. By the way, you did the marshmallow test on them over the weekend. Can we talk about the marshmallow test and what that
so
is?
Good.
And so I guess what is the genesis of the marshmallow test?
Well, I think originally it was a Stanford researcher who wanted to be able to test kids and their ability to control their impulses. And I've heard about it for a while. I've had friends do it. And then our sister-in-law said, hey, you should totally try it with the little ones and see how they do. And so we didn't use marshmallows. Let's see, what did we use for Zia?
She used Mentos.
Mentos. For some reason, she's really into, like, the colored Mentos. And then Soji just likes chocolate. So we did Zia first, and I set the timer for 10 minutes, told her she had to sit there in the chair.
And so what is the deal? So 10 minutes, she has to sit there.
Yeah.
And what?
She's not supposed to have any other distractions. And she's told, you're welcome to eat the Mentos at any time.
How many Mentos are
five.
On? Five. Okay, so there's five Mentos sitting
crazy.
In front of her.
Yeah,
and she at any time in this 10 minutes, she can just pick them up and eat them, and there's no harm there.
Yes, and she's told she can do that. But she's also told if she goes the full 10 minutes without eating any of the Mentos, she gets double the number of Mentos. So I don't know if I did this, like, exactly according to how you're supposed to do it, but you're supposed to do it in, like, a room that has no distractions and whatnot, and that there's not a room like that.
How did
it
go? Because I know you filmed them, too.
I know. I was shocked. Both of them did it. Both of them waited till 10 minutes. I couldn't believe it.
But
I couldn't believe they
were
had
they,
the, like,
because I would have think
the willpower.
Soji to me would have been the one I bet against.
Yeah, well, she's younger.
Also more impulsive. More likely to just punch you in the throat or run up and hug your head like it's a watermelon or,
right.
You know, it's so how did they differ in, because I didn't see the whole 10 minutes for both of them. I just kind of saw the celebration after.
Yeah, they were interesting. Zia was really quiet for the 10 minutes, more or less, just kind of staring, you know, and singing to herself. Soji was curious. She started to turn the pieces of chocolate into, like, she was shaping them into something. And so she was interacting more with the candy. One of them actually put it up to their mouth and pretended to eat it. I can't remember who that was. I think that was Zia. Zia took one of the Mentos and actually, like, was make-believing that she was eating it. So she's doing a little mental projection there of the reward. And a lot more complaining from Soji about it taking too long and, you know, what can she stop now, and a lot more expressive that way.
All right. So for people who want to replicate this at home, you could either listen to us or you could Google the marshmallow experiment and it'll pop up. I think it was Philip Zimbardo was the psychologist at Stanford who did this.
Really?
I know that because I had him for a teacher in my community.
Oh.
I like to point that out, that I had a Stanford professor who taught me at my community college. At a fraction of the Stanford price, by the way. But I remember him talking about it in class. And I remember him. He also did the experiment where, did you see the experiment where they took students and they made half of them the prisoners and half of them the guards? And then they studied their behavior. I think it's something that people should be talking about now with the way that law enforcement, sort of when you put on a uniform, mm-hmm. the attitude that you take on with the uniform. Well, they put them in prisoner and guard situations, and it was really interesting. It just took a matter of days before they switched and started mistreating each other or acting the roles. They started playing out the roles. All right, we'll be right back for the final segment of the show. I have more on that front to talk to you about. You got the Bald Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. Take advantage of low interest rates. Golden Oak Lending has got their free mortgage checkup that they can provide for you. If you're somebody out there that's looking to lower your monthly payment or possibly take some cash out and pay off a credit card, or maybe just looking for some relief, or maybe you want to shorten the term of your loan, this is a great time. You've got flexibility. You've got the experts at Golden Oak Lending who are on your side. This is a risk-free thing when you do their mortgage checkup. You can just say, hey, can you get me a better rate? What can you save me? What's this look like? What does a 30-year loan look like? What does a 25-year loan look like? Let's model a 15-year loan and see if we can pay off that house early. Golden Oak Lending can help you. They have their portal that is secure. You can do it all online from the comfort of your home. Just go now to goldenoaklending.com to get that process started. Tell them the BFT sent you. They'll take care of you. Again, goldenoaklending.com. Get that free mortgage checkup and take advantage. All right, my wife is in studio, as I mentioned. Look, during the commercial break, I looked up the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment. It is a study on delayed gratification from 1972. The psychologist that led it is Walter Mischel, who is a professor at Stanford. And in the study, a child was offered a choice between one small but immediate reward, a marshmallow, or two small rewards, two marshmallows, if they waited for a period of time. They left the room for 15 minutes and then returned, and then they were either given the extra marshmallow or they were not. And then researchers found that children who were able to wait longer or the preferred reward tended to have better life outcomes as measured by SAT scores, educational attainment, body mass index, and other life measures. I wish that somebody had done this to me. I would be curious.
What would you have done? I think you would have figured it out. The reward was better.
But if somebody tells you can have two marshmallows, that's, you know, that makes sense to me. I wait for the second marshmallow, you know?
Yeah, I guess I probably should have read the directions a little more specifically to see like what you were actually supposed to do. Had I known there was only one marshmallow or one treat being offered, I probably would have scaled back to that.
Now, Soji has stepped into studio. Soji, when mom put the chocolate on the plate for you, was it hard for you to wait to eat the chocolate or not?
No.
Why not?
Because it looks so yummy.
Yeah, but you waited to eat it. Why did you wait?
I wanted more.
Yep. You wanted more.
Good and job, there it is. Honey.
There it is. You know, you're going to have good SAT scores, according to this.
She's nodding.
She's like, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not that the SAT is going to be used to get into college anymore. What do you, like, they're talking about, like, the next, through 2024, that there won't be SATs required in California schools. And I know that Oregon and Oregon State have sort of waived the requirement now because they weren't able to get kids in a classroom for an SAT thing. Is this a good thing or bad thing that test scores look like they're going to become less and less important to admissions, at least in the short term?
I think that's advantageous for, you know, kids who don't test well. And it's really hard. You know, we know kids who are incredibly intelligent, who do phenomenal homework, coursework during the course of the year, but just because they, you know, don't test well, it really counts against them when it comes to college admissions. So I think it'll be advantageous to them. I've heard from parents who actually still want these requirements offered as an option to help their overachieving students stand out. And, you know, the same, they want grades, they want, you know, the ability for SAT or other standardized tests to be considered as part of admissions. So yeah, I don't know.
I get why historically they've wanted the tests. All right, it gives you one more data point, one more way to measure students against each other.
Yeah.
But isn't, like, in life, isn't the great test in life sort of your proof of performance over time? And I always wonder, like, I tested well, but I always was kind of confused by it because I always thought, like, the greater body of work was looking at 4 years of high school for me. All right, did he get it done? What did he do while he was there? Was he active? Was he a leader? Does he, you know, what kind of recommendation letter does he have? And by the way, his college entrance essay, to me, that's a more complete picture. I kind of think that test scores, while they're cool, I'm not sure we can measure like it, that they should hold that much weight. To me, it's almost like the NFL combine. Like, we watch a kid play football for 2, 3, 4 years in college. Then he goes to the combine, runs a crazy 40, right?
Yeah.
But he only gets invited to the combine because he played well enough. Like, the NFL says, we only want to see these limited, you know, 200 or 300 kids that can run. We're not just taking everybody and letting them run. That your body of work in college as a player mattered. Probably matters more than the 40 time.
Well, and I think it still does. I think your body of work as a high schooler still matters. You'd have to talk to an admissions counselor. It's probably a question I should have asked on my show, was what percentage of a college's admissions process is actually that standardized test versus your coursework versus whether you're participating in leading, you know, extracurricular activities and that kind of thing.
But you're hiring for a job.
Yeah.
And you can weigh someone's test score, their aptitude,
yeah,
versus how did they do in their last job and what did they do and what kind of person are they? Which of those, if you can only see one of those things, which one do you want to see?
The latter. But the thing is, with thousands and thousands and thousands of people applying, I mean, don't the colleges need kind of a practical way to cut through the mass and, you know, pick out the cream of the crop, because they can't go in and evaluate all of those things individually for each person that is applying, right? Like, they isn't that really the efficiency of the process? Is they can look at this application and go, all right, their GPA and their SAT score doesn't even come close to what our minimum requirement would be, so we're not even going to spend the time to, you know,
I think it's already kind
person.
Of being done, though. I think the thing they value the most now is, okay, are you competent in that, you know, do you meet our minimum requirement? Mm-hmm. And then I think they start looking at out-of-state students who are going to pay bigger tuitions. I think, if we're being real, I think that has more to do with it than the test score.
That may be more important now than ever. But, I mean, where does it stop, though? I mean, do you eliminate the GRE test for graduate school?
Eliminate all tests.
All tests.
All tests are done.
And yet you're anti-participation trophy.
No, I
want the surgeon who operates on me to have passed the MCAT.
I used to do that. Like, okay, for the interns on the show, back in the day, 13 years ago, I had a test.
Yeah.
It was a competency test that was based in sort of how much do you know about sports? How much do you know about radio or whatever? It was a competency test. And I threw it out the window because what I realized was, just get smart people in the room. Smart people figure things out. And I can tell, you know, in working with someone, you know, as little as 1 or 2, 3 days, you know, this person is either got the lights are on or they're not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't need that long.
Okay. So what would be the better test then? If it's not a paper test or some kind of
qualifying, interview,
just an interview.
An interview. I think you can tell a lot in an interview. I also think, like, you know, look, if we're going to apply the sports metaphor to it, why not allow the colleges to come scout the kids on their high school campuses as students?
See what kind of kid they are?
Oh, 2 scouts from Cornell were in my math class today, Mom. I could barely add. So much pressure.
That's so true. They do it for sports, right? They should be able to see the kids in their natural habitat.
Yeah, we went into his science class. We decided to take him because he's got a high motor. We noticed that while he was working on his chemistry.
What if you had just like a brilliant kid, but, you know, but repeatedly that kid would like stick gum under the desk instead of throwing it away.
Caught him on a bad day.
Disqualified.
He's not for us, says Harvard.
He's not Harvard material.
He's not for us. All right. The bald-faced truth is not here for a long time. Just a good time. I want you to grab a podcast of this show like a million other people will do this year. A million people. That blows my mind. Alabama Adriana. Giving a fist pump right there. She takes care of the podcast. So when you subscribe to the podcast, literally she gets an alert. She breaks into a cartwheel. She gets a big smile. It makes her day. So what I'm saying is make Alabama Adriana's day. And by the way, if you want to join the graduation party, go to AdrianaRocks.com. You can join the virtual graduation party like a lot of other people are already doing. See her graduation pictures.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.